This three-dimensional image, if shattered, contains the whole image in each of the fragments that are produced. So unity is once again preserved, even in diversity. Dialectic is no mere seesaw of opposing elements of pro and con, yes and no. It's an organic development that leads to positive results. For example, when we say, I think, we begin with the I as a unity of self-consciousness. The self is the subject. Now, says Hegel, a self-conscious subject is aware of all the experience he or she has, hopes, fears, desires, deeds, thoughts, so forth. Hegel calls this the object self. A self, in short, is both a subject and an object. The self as subject knows itself as object. For Hegel, that's the very meaning of self-consciousness. The dialectical process includes both subject and object. And Hegel says only this process can give us the kind of knowledge that makes us self-conscious beings. Much has been thought and written about Hegel's supposedly negative view of the natural sciences, but there's evidence that he had the highest regard for the importance of these disciplines. Perhaps no philosopher of his time knew as much about the sciences as Hegel. He tried to relate them to each other. He wanted to form a comprehensive view of nature as a whole. Yet some have said that this was a grandiose effort by a philosopher to engage in armchair science, or to derive the facts about the world from reason itself. The distinguished historian of science, Sir William Dampier, had this to say.
Hegel imagined that a knowledge of the real world could be obtained a priori, that is, without recourse to experience, by logic.
This distorted view of what Hegel was doing has also been held by scientists, as we see in this judgment, by the noted 19th century German physicist, Hermann Helmholtz.
Hegel's philosophy started with the hypothesis that the actual world, nature, that is, and man, was the result of an act of thought on the part of a creative mind. On this hypothesis, it seemed competent for the human mind, even without the guidance of external experience, to rediscover these thoughts by its own inner activity. It was at this point that Hegel's philosophy utterly broke down. His system of nature seemed, at least to scientists, absolutely crazy. The facts of nature would have been the crucial test.
Hegel makes his own view clear here.
We may safely say that experience is the real author of growth and advance in philosophy. For firstly, the empirical sciences do not stop short at the mere observation of the individual features of a phenomenon. By the aid of thought, they are able to meet philosophy with materials prepared for it in the shape of general uniformities, that is, laws and classifications of the phenomena. When this is done, particular facts which they contain are all ready to be received into philosophy. This, secondly, implies a certain compulsion on thought itself to proceed to these concrete, specific truths. The reception into philosophy of these scientific materials, now that thought has removed their immediacy and made them cease to be mere data, forms at the same time a development of thought out of itself. Philosophy then owes its development to the empirical sciences. Not only must philosophy be in agreement with our empirical knowledge of nature, but the origin and formation of the philosophy of nature presupposes and is conditioned by empirical physics.
In short, Hegel says the philosophy of nature is not a substitute for the knowledge of the sciences. Rather, the philosophy of nature tries to use the sciences to grasp the world as an integral whole. Hegel takes the empirical sciences seriously. This can be seen in his effort to establish the philosophy of nature on a sound basis. Others, like Friedrich Schelling, oppose a picture of nature based on the sciences. They base their philosophy of nature on the speculative idea that we should use intuition and myth to retain our primordial unity with nature. We had this unity before the fall into knowledge. If we can regain it, we will then have a grasp of nature from the inside, as it were. We will transcend the limits imposed by conceptual thought. Hegel didn't want to be identified with this unity with nature view. He believed it gave the philosophy of nature a bad name, especially among scientists. Here's Hegel's response.
The eccentricities of the philosophy of nature originate partly in such an idea, namely in the idea that although nowadays we no longer dwell in this paradisal state, there still are favored ones, seers to whom God imparts true knowledge and wisdom in sleep, or that man, even without being so favored, can at least by faith in it transport himself into a state where the inner sight of nature is immediately revealed to him, and where he need only let fancies occur to him, that is,